Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host. And with me today, I have Judge Jim Day. Welcome, Judge. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm doing fine.
Great. Now, Judge made a mistake. He came into the studio the other day and wanted to see if we would advertise an event coming on.
That's right.
And I kind of harm-swallowed it into coming and being on the show. But thanks for coming in.
Sure. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. Judge, a little history. You were in Greene County for how many years? You were a judge in Greene County?
I was a judge in Greene County for 30 years. I was elected in 1990 and retired in 2020.
Cool. 2020. Did you always live in Carrollton or in Greene County?
Yeah, essentially all my life in Carrollton, yes.
Yeah.
My parents basically owned and ran a restaurant in Carrollton called Day's Cafe. It was there for a number of years.
Where was it located?
It was on the east side of the square in Carrollton.
Ah, okay. And so I guess you worked the restaurant when you were a kid growing up?
I did. I think I started when I was about 15. I would go up during the summer, start at 7 a.m. and work until 2 p.m.
Yes.
I'd ride my bicycle from home up to the restaurant.
I'll be darned. And I guess the family must have lived right around town there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, close by, of course. Yeah.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have a sister in St. Louis. I have a sister who's deceased, and that's it.
Uh-huh. Okay. You know, I always, because I was in the restaurant business myself for many years, and I always liked the kids being a part of the restaurant because I felt it really they had to have good work ethics. They had to talk to people, you know.
Right.
And I think the ability to communicate with others is so important for us.
I think it was a great experience.
Yeah. Now, was your family, were they into law or at all?
No.
Who influenced you to go into going to law school or to be?
It just seemed like the thing to do. I remember there was a famous murder case in Greene County, and I was very young, and I remember seeing the defendant come out of the courthouse, and I talked to my mother about it, and she seemed to be involved in it, and it kind of got me thinking about law and law school and so on.
How old were you?
Oh, I was only about 11 or 12.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you start thinking about it then.
Right.
And then through high school, of course you went to Carrollton High.
Graduated Carrollton High.
Yeah. And then on to college, what was your undergrad?
Undergrad, I majored history and government at McMurray College in Jacksonville.
Just down the street?
Not too far.
Yes.
Right.
And at that time, were you still thinking about going into law?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
right from the beginning.
That seemed to be a pretty good major for law school. And I applied to the University of Illinois and was accepted to their law school.
Super.
Yeah.
Graduated top of your class?
Well, no, I don't think I was top of the class, but I did graduate, and immediately after I was sworn in as a lawyer, I went into the Marine Corps for 3 years active duty.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
What year was that?
I graduated in 1963. I served in the Marine Corps from 1963 to 1966.
Was the Vietnam beginning then?
I was close, very close to Vietnam. I was on Okinawa.
Yeah.
With the 3rd Marine Division. They only had 3 divisions in the Marine Corps. And I had a sergeant come in and tell me that when we go to Vietnam, you're assigned seat number so-and-so on aircraft number so-and-so. They were that detailed in getting ready to go to Vietnam. And I said, well, let me know. I'll be ready. But 30 days after I left Okinawa and was transferred to Yuma, Arizona, they took the entire 3rd Marine Division down to Vietnam, and that's when things really started getting hot.
I see. What was your job in the Marine Corps?
Well, actually, I was an attorney, so I handled
legal
advice to Marines who needed it, and I handled summary, special, and general courts martial, and I was the legal officer.
I bet that was a great experience.
Oh, it was. We had a variety of things in
coming at you every day.
Right. Yeah.
So then, at this time, were you married yet?
No.
Okay. So you get out of service, and then what happened?
Well, I come back. I had a letter from an attorney in Whitehall, Illinois, and said that he would offer me a position as an attorney, and it looked like a good opportunity. So I took that, came back, and started practicing law basically in Greene County.
Who was that?
That was Julian Hutchins.
I see.
Yeah.
So you worked under Julian for...
Oh, a number of years.
Oh, yeah?
Until he passed. And then I was on my own for several years until the opportunity came up to run for judge in 1990.
Yeah. What possessed you to want to... Well, what possession you want to go be a judge?
I hadn't thought about it that much, and I didn't know whether I was that experienced. But the previous judge actually came to me and suggested that I should run.
He recruited you.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That was Tom Rohde.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. And I thought, well, if he thinks I could do it, I think maybe I'll give it a shot.
Right. What did he see in you that thought you might be a good judge?
Well, I don't know. I had practiced, of course, before him on several things, and I don't know that he saw anything specific, but I think generally he thought I would be qualified to handle it.
Now, when you ran for judge in 1990, did you have some opposition?
Oh, yeah. It was a contested race.
Yeah. I mean, a judgeship is a pretty good job.
It is.
I mean, it's something that, you know, people, I think most attorneys would like it if they could do it, but not everybody's going to get a shot at it.
Right.
Yeah. So, but you had some opponents running against you. How many?
Just one.
It's just one?
Yeah.
Did you do some heavy campaigning? Did you have some help in that?
Oh, my wife helped a lot.
Did she?
Yeah, everything from what I should wear to various events.
She was coaching you.
Oh, yeah. She helped a great deal, and we campaigned pretty heavily before the election and managed to prevail.
Oh, great. When at that point in time, when your first days, all right, your first weeks as a judge, any experiences or what was it like for a new judge coming on?
Well, of course, it's completely different than practicing law.
I
had a court reporter who'd been there several years, and one of my first cases, he kind of outlined how things would go, you know, what to do and who to do it to.
He was coaching you.
Right, which helped a lot I got a little more experienced. But I had quite a bit of experience prior to being a judge. I represented criminals. I handled divorce, all types of cases that you can get in a small town.
Murder cases when you were attorney?
I didn't have an actual trial, although I was appointed to represent a previously convicted murderer who was trying to get his sentence reduced.
I see. The one thing, I know a judge, and I asked the judge, what's the big difference from going to law, to practicing law, to being a judge? And the person told me, nobody questions me. After that, it's just like, you just say it, and, people just go ahead because you're the judge,
That's generally true, although some of them might question me in private, but they usually don't say too much in the courtroom.
Now, first of all, I got to let everybody know that I have Judge Jim Day with me, practiced being a judge in Greene County for 30 years and retired now and with us in studio, talking a little bit about his experience. So you You were in the 7th.
7th Circuit.
7th Circuit. Touch on that, the 7th Circuit.
Well,
what is
the 7th Circuit? Consists of Jersey, Green, Scott, Morgan, Sangamon, and Macoupin counties. So 6 counties in the 7th Circuit.
Okay.
And I've done judge work in all 6 counties.
And mainly you were in Greene County.
Mainly I was in Greene County. Sometimes there, like a judge in another county would have a conflict where he couldn't or she couldn't handle a case, and sometimes I would be assigned to take that case, so I'd go to different counties at various times.
Who decides, who takes care of those assignments and changing things up and determining where you go?
Each circuit has what's called a chief circuit judge. He's like the boss, you might say, and he can determine where a judge can be assigned and how often and so on.
Who appoints him?
He's elected by the other circuit judges.
Okay, that's what I wondered.
Yeah.
All right, that's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
So now you were telling me that you went up in your career, you had to go to Cook County a few times.
Several times. Cook County had such a backlog that they would ask for judges to be sent up from downstate, and our circuit supplied judges as requested. I went to Cook County several times during my career.
What was that like, going to Cook County?
Amazingly different. For example, in Cook County, a judge is usually assigned to one specific type of case, and that judge could be handling that type of case for months and months, maybe a year or more. And in Greene County, of course,
you worked in Cook County for how long? What kind of period of time would you be in Cook County?
Just a week.
Okay.
One time, I think I went 2 weeks consecutively, but generally just a week.
Did your wife go with you?
Usually.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
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 All right. So continue on.
Well, in Cook County, I received different assignments. One week, all I had was divorce cases, which usually were uncontested, but in Cook County, you have a lot of different people. You have a lot of cases, and a lot of people didn't speak English.
Uh-oh.
And so, but in when you were handling a case and you needed an interpreter in Cook County, you just say, I need a Polish interpreter, Polish language interpreter. About 5 minutes later, there would be a Polish language interpreter. And I think that week I had divorce cases. I think I had somewhere roughly 7 to 11 different languages that were spoken in these divorce cases.
Isn't
that
crazy?
Had interpreters for Spanish, German, French, African dialects. Just very amazing.
That really surprises me.
Yeah.
That there'd be that many different languages in
Cook County. Well, it's so diverse. I mean,
yeah. Any interesting things happen in Cook County that wouldn't happen in? I mean, I know you have the language barrier, but do people ever get out of line or a little crazy in Cook County?
I really didn't have any issues in Cook County. Things went pretty well. They usually had good court security, and I'm trying to think. One week I had traffic cases, and that's different, too, because they would schedule you about 100 or more cases per day.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's busy.
It was pretty busy. They would have police officers sitting in the courtroom, and when a defendant's case was called, the prosecuting attorney would say, would ask the officer who made the arrest or gave the ticket if he remembered the defendant, and if he said, no, I don't remember this case. Well, then the case would be dismissed. But if he said, yeah, I remember this very well. And if the defendant said, well, I'm pleading not guilty, we would have a trial almost instantly. The officer would be called, and he would testify, and the defendant would testify, and then I'd decide either guilty or not guilty.
You would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'd buzz through 100 cases in a day.
And most of the time, would they be guilty?
Most of the time, they'd be guilty. I could say if the officer didn't remember, that case would be dismissed. But, yeah, most were guilty. But we'd have a few trials every day.
Yeah. Now, you were talking about, before we went on the air, you said there's an experience with a guy and his girlfriend having trouble with his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. This guy was in court. And
this was in Greene County.
This in Greene County.
And no names.
No names, but he basically indicated that his girlfriend was pretty mad at him, and he related this incident where he said he was driving, and he came up to a stop sign, and his girlfriend was in another car, and he said, well, she went by me like I was sitting still. And then he thought about
it. Okay, I got to ask you, why were they in court? What was he in court for?
He was involved really in domestic, who received custody of a child and
things like
that. Okay,
it was over custody case. Right, and right. She was in the courtroom too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then he thought about it and he said, well, I guess I was sitting still. He was right. He was sitting still.
When people come in, to a courtroom, all right, there's a certain amount of etiquette that has to go on.
Right.
Okay. And you have a bailiff, just one bailiff there to enforce
usually
that.
That's the case, right.
Etiquette. What are some things that, because I see the way people dress today, you know, in general. Back when you were in the courtroom, did you ever have to say, hey, you know, you're not dressed appropriately?
I won't mention anything specific about what I saw sometimes, but occasionally I'd have someone come into court and there'd be a crowd of people. We'd have 30 or 40 on what we called initial appearance day, and I'd look out there and occasionally I would see a sweatshirt or something that said something very inappropriate to be in court.
Yes.
And I would say, hey, that's inappropriate. You need either to change your shirt, turn it inside out, or leave the courtroom and come back in when you think you're appropriately dressed. That didn't happen too often, but several times.
But usually at the beginning, you would kind of scan the crowd and make sure everybody was
right.
Was appropriate.
Right. I'd give them a basic idea of what was going to happen on our initial appearance day. I'd tell them that they have a right to plead guilty, not guilty. And the state's attorney would call their case, and they would decide whether they wanted to plead guilty or not guilty. And if they pled guilty, might be able to work something out right on the spot. If not guilty, if they wanted a jury trial, we schedule that later.
Everybody can have a jury trial.
Oh, yes.
They can have one.
Basically, you can for anything.
But percentage-wise, what percentage are jury trials, would you just say off the cuff, versus just... handling it.
Less than 10%.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's that much, actually.
Well, I say less than 10%. That could be down as 5, 4, 3, or 2, but not too often. Usually, if a jury trial is scheduled, there will either be a resolution before the actual trial starts. But every once in a while, we'll get a jury trial. I've had jury trials on manslaughter cases. Well, I had a jury trial in Jacksonville on a murder case.
Oh, yeah? Murder case?
Yeah.
What kind of case was it like? What was going on?
It was an incident in a bar in Jacksonville where the defendant got into an argument with the victim.
Yeah.
And eventually punched the victim. Victim fell, hit his head on the floor, and as a result, died.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So... What would he be convicted of? I mean, because it wasn't just like outright murder.
No,
it was an accident.
It could be manslaughter.
Manslaughter.
Is a lesser offense.
Yeah. But it would still
It's a pretty
be,
serious
I mean,
charge.
It would still be time in prison or not?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
If convicted.
Okay. Did he get convicted?
He did not. He was found not guilty.
Okay. On the grounds it was just an accident, not his fault?
I think, right, that he didn't really intend to kill the person, just... It just was a result of the punch, though.
What, being a judge for so long, if someone is listening or someone's thinking about being a judge, what's some advice you can give them for any young people going into law school? Maybe they're not young, maybe they're in law school, but they're thinking, I'd like to be a judge. What would you say?
Well, of course, there's some basic things that you have to do. You have to... go through college.
Yes.
Graduate from college. And then there's the law school admission test, which is basically required. Then you have to apply to a law school.
And do you have to be a lawyer to be a judge?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Now you do.
Now, there was a time when you didn't.
There was a time when we had justices of the peace, and they didn't have to be lawyers, but that was some long time ago.
Okay. Maybe when I was a kid?
Maybe. That could be.
But anyway, so you got to think about if you're, you need to go to law school, and but what intentions should you have if you want to be a judge? What should you think about?
Well, I think you have to go on, of course, the obvious, very basic thing is you have to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
You have to listen to both sides, and you have to try to make a fair decision based on the evidence that's presented in a trial or hearing of any kind.
Mm-hmm. So to be a judge, you need to be on an even keel and be fair-minded,
right,
and not be on some crusade.
I think you're right. You have to be patient, but at sometimes if people cross the line, then you have to take appropriate steps. But mm-hmm. it's, I enjoyed it.
Yes.
Very much.
Enjoyed just all the people involved
with the
people, helping the people?
The variety of cases, yes. And, we did some things that weren't unpleasant, like adoptions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, marriages. I could perform marriages. I did a lot of those, actually.
Yeah. And you enjoyed the marriages?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So it's not all criminal defendants who are murderers or rapists or anything like that.
Right. Well, any last words of wisdom? We've about out of time on this interview.
I just basically, as I said, it's a great position if you can get it, and I would urge anyone who's thinking about it to think about it seriously and do due diligence in studying and getting admitted to college, admitted to law school. And some judges are appointed.
Yes.
Some are elected. That's a combination here in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Associate judges are appointed by the circuit judges, but circuit judges are, well, they can be appointed by the Supreme Court of Illinois, but a lot of times they're elected, too.
I see.
So,
well, Judge Jim Day, thanks so much for coming in today. Really enjoyed chatting with you.
Same here.
You have a great day.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll see you around.
Yeah, thanks for the good work that your station does.
Oh, well, thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah.